advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King. Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
Retard. You say funny things.
I'm here with bells on, boys.
Yeah, each one of those clinks was a shot he just did.
Yeah, Brent's fucking smashed,
wrecked.
They all had like Techo in them.
Yeah,
I found my number though when you were gone, Dave.
What, 17?
12 will do her.
12.
Yeah, it's good for shots or wieners. It's
12
a lot.
Inches
shots.
Each shot has 12 inches shots, of liquor. Though. Yeah,
that's true.
Those were not shots.
We don't have real measurement. I don't know. What do you think it was? You were here, weren't you?
What?
I think you were here.
Like, I just constantly heard as I listened to the episode,
drinking,
that is so much more than a shot.
Oh, yeah. No, the one I poured him was this much.
No.
Yes.
It was not that much.
It was that much. It was three shots minimum.
No.
Yeah, you drank a
now
lot
Now I can't
more
believe you about your wiener.
You drank a
There's
lot
no way it's 4 inches. It's probably like two.
Might be.
Exaggerating.
I told you, I got the European.
What's the European?
It's all grow, no show.
That's called the European?
Yeah. You ever see the statues? I don't know. That's what I call it. You know, statues, they all got fucking...
Mine's Angry Gonzo.
Not really that impressive. Yeah. Angry Gonzo.
Yeah.
It's got a wart.
I picture it like a roll of cinnamon rolls from the grocery store.
Wow.
And you have to press on it sideways with a butter knife to make it pop.
So you've seen it then.
That's what I picture it.
Oh, wow.
That's my picture.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I knew I was like, I can drink
now, are they Pillsbury or like Cinnabon? You know what I mean? Like,
I'm picturing generic because they're the ones that are really hard to pierce.
They never put the cut in that shit. You're fucking stabbing it and it explodes all over the counter.
That's what I'm picturing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing.
I really pop a boner.
It sounds like a 22 going off in your house. Just tush. Yeah. Wow. I did have some biscuits. They were fucking, I was beating them on the fucking counter. I thought I was going to break the tile.
Yeah.
Like, those motherfuckers were just not wanting to pop open. And then when they did, though, I think it was some great value or some bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did I cheated so hard last night? I must have had 13 Dr. Peppers. No, I did not. I didn't have any soda, but I ate pineapple pizza. Everybody can fight me if they fucking want. Nothing. Nothing is the answer. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm just saying, you could eat what you want.
But I had slice of Italy.
Pineapple pizza.
No.
It's the only thing you can't have.
You like? I don't remember where we're at on that. You
I
like
eat
it?
Yeah. I eat it, but they don't belong on there.
But you like
pineapple
it.
Doesn't belong on pineapple and ham pizza. I can tell you that. I'll eat it. I usually pick off the pineapples. I kick them motherfuckers off. Bink. I flick them off. Ding, bing, 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 bing. If you've got too
there,
many
though.
Pineapples, I'm okay
there.
With it. Yeah, because ham, I mean, understandably ham, you kind of have pineapple on it. You know what I mean? You
right.
get the, it,
yeah,
the
ham,
ring.
Pineapple,
yeah,
yeah,
I mean, it's kind of a thing. So I just don't. It's same thing. I get sweet and fire chicken from Panda,
mm-hmm.
or sweet sour chicken from Great Castle or whatever. You know what I mean? When I go eat Chinese food, it's got pineapple in it. I don't eat the pineapple.
Some company, Hidden Valley, needs to team up with El Yucateco, though, because ranch with XXX in it is the best fucking thing. I don't care if it's french fries or your burger or pizza, but that's what I did last night. And I just fucking, it made me eat more pizza. I was like, I need to stop fucking eating pizza, but I want to eat the rest of this ranch, but I feel like a glutton.
Right.
I'm not going to go get a spoon and eat this fucking ranch.
Yeah,
you got to dip something in there to make you feel like you're not.
Though, have you done? Like, calorie-wise, you would have been better off because you're going to eat the ranch no matter what.
Sure. Yeah. But then you feel like I'm just straight eating mayonnaise with hot sauce.
Yeah. Have you done the ranch dip like for like Ruffles?
I never make that.
Sour
I show
cream,
up to Thanksgiving and that exists.
Sour cream, you know what
party.
I mean?
Yeah,
sour
yeah.
cream and the powder and for the Ruffles,
right.
but then put El Yucateco in it.
I've done that. That's
the only way to make
awesome.
Ranch. That was the, for me, that was the only way to make ranch was to get the thing of sour cream, get the ranch powder, mix it up. It's all thick and delicious.
That's so thick, though.
I wouldn't put that on a salad, though. That's chip.
No, no, no. And it was great. Yeah. That's the best for pizza, though.
Ooh, just thick like that?
That's too much.
Fuck yeah.
That's well, too much. Maybe, because I'll be honest, I had some trouble. Like, the ranch was fucking messy because it was watery.
I like it. Yeah, I like
so
it.
So I would
dripping.
Just, like, dip a wedge in it and let it dribble all over the pizza.
Yeah, I like thin ranch. Like, that's my thing.
Too watery, though, it's a problem.
Too watery
like,
is a problem.
In my beard and
so you
shit.
Like Rusty's Ranch.
Rusty's Ranch is too watery.
It's really watery.
Magoo's Ranch is about perfect. It tastes the same as Rusty's, but it has a little more thickness.
We need to fucking take some Triple X to Rusty's and be like, bro, you should offer Habanero Ranch. Try this shit.
Or, because they have a Devil's Pizza or whatever that's fucking hot.
And get them to put that on there?
Yeah, put Triple X on there.
How big of a chain is Rusty's?
Well, that's it's just small.
That wouldn't
it's small.
Them.
It's local, and it's out of... Santa Barbara.
So I escalated, as you guys can see here, with my googly eye partner here. You guys have stuffed animals, but I have fucking...
That'll last you a good week.
It'll last me longer than a week, but I keep running out of the fucking bottles because I've given away all the bottles that we get, and then I went and bought more bottles and gave those away, and I buy bottles for myself.
Yeah.
I'll get two when I'm at the grocery store and throw it in there.
And that's an amazing amount of bottles, too, because we get cases of that shit.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Yeah,
and it gets given away.
But it used to be the hot sack didn't really have a bottle in it, you know what I mean? And it was, we gave it away to like friends, I give it to customers. Yeah. I try to get people to try it, bomb a place with it. And now I actually mail those bottles.
Yeah, and I've gotten people just giving it to them. Like, they like hot sauce, and you see them eating some bullshit.
Right.
And you're like, oh, you like hot sauce? They're like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'll get you some hot sauce.
I try when I'm in the store to buy a bottle of Triple X. Like, I buy multiples. And like, if I see someone in the hot sauce section, that's hard. Last time I went, there was a dude looking at it, and I was like, have you tried this? And if I give it to him and they're like, no, but I will. I'm like, this is the best fucking hot sauce you ever try. Hand it to him. They didn't buy it and they walked away. So I grabbed another bottle. And when I was at the checkout, I was like looking around. I was like, there's that dude. I bought it and I just like wrapped my receipt around it. I was like, there you go, bro. He's like, no way. And I was like, yeah, try that shit. That's how much I like it. I bought you a bottle. And I just fucking buy them a bottle and hand it to him at the register.
Yeah.
It's $2.
Yep.
Change their life.
That's right.
I do it.
You have to promise me something though with that big bottle now that you put googly eyes on it.
Right.
You have to get an erasable marker and draw a smiley, like a happy smile under its eyes. And
why erasable?
As the bottle gets lower,
it changes.
It has to slowly become a frown.
Oh, yeah.
Should I anthropomorphize this bottle? And then if I get a new bottle, it's only a refill for this guy. You know what I mean? I always keep this guy.
Well, that's up to your dirty ass. I'm just saying you need to picture.
Yeah. You reuse.
You want to keep that crusty ass bottle, son.
That's up to your dirty ass. Yeah, and if you listen, like the whiskey glasses that he used last week are the same ones, and then the whiskey, and they're not cleaned. And then the whiskey glasses before.
These are crystal clear.
You said they were clean before.
I washed them for the last show because we were having guests.
Mine's not clean.
I didn't wash those, but you got hands, bro. You could wash them too when you walk out of here.
I'm not going to. We have a maid
about your dirty ass glass. I haven't paid the maid in months.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm. Need to give her something.
That's the problem. I never paid her. I mean, not in dollars.
Yeah.
Paid her. Dick.
Oh, I didn't know what you meant.
I was looking at Dave. He didn't get it. I had to subtly say it. Yeah.
I didn't know what you were saying.
I paid the shit out of the maid.
Yeah.
That's why she don't wash these glasses.
She's too busy.
Yeah, she didn't want to walk downstairs.
Both hands are full on his cinnamon rolls.
She's too disappointed. She's like, that banging wasn't worth cleaning.
Oh, I'm not cleaning shit. Oh, wow, that turned around.
I'll vacuum for about 5 minutes and I'm out. Yeah.
She didn't even do that good.
Yeah.
What a bitch.
She sucks at sucking.
Yeah. So our topic today is, now I'd heard of these guys like in passing.
And gals.
Really, I only heard of them because you would rub up against him doing the show.
Oh, I rub against him, like the main
Cointel Pro episode.
Oh, that actually, you know what, that did come up.
What's his name? The fucking LSD tripper dude.
Dennis Leary. No, not Dennis Leary.
Crowley. Aleister Crowley.
No.
Tim Leary?
Yeah, Timothy Leary.
Timothy Leary, yeah.
They got brought up as they will again here.
The guy that's saying I'm an asshole, right? Same guy.
Yeah, same guy.
Yeah. I'm going to have to, you're going to have to refresh my memory on that because I do not remember.
So they that was the only time I ran because I remember like just a couple of times I would
run into
them.
They break that motherfucker out of jail.
Yeah. And I'd be like, what the fuck? Who are these people? And then I would have to look at the Wikipedia really quick as I was researching those other shows and be like, oh, this is kind of crazy. But digging deeper this week, I'm like, wow, this is really fucking crazy. Like, how did these people exist doing what they did? And I've never fucking heard of them. Like, all through college, I never heard of them. Like, they were fucking, like, the shit they did was crazy. crazy. And I had never heard, I mean, like I said, super in passing. I knew that they had something to do with 60s counterculture. That was about all that I, God damn it.
Oh, Dave.
That was about all that I knew.
Did you get it back in there?
Yeah.
Because I was going to mention podbelly.com because I forgot earlier while you were breaking your microphone, it wasn't in there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you break your microphone again, people could go check it out because I'm not used to saying it in the beginning. Yeah. I keep forgetting. So
podbelly.com, go check it out for all your podcast needs and all of your favorite podcasts.
How do you keep picking that up though? We have never experienced that. I move this shit all the time and I've never pulled it out of this.
I know we talked about other mic stands. Is that going to happen with those?
Yes, please. No,
do you want the other mic stands?
Fuck yeah. I didn't pull the trigger.
Oh, I thought you did. I
didn't pull the trigger
CJ
yet.
Laser said he thought you ordered them.
Those things were a dream.
No, I ordered them.
Because he got a box when I was here when he was fixing my
those
Mac.
Those were just more of these for
I know. He opened it or whatever, but yeah. I was like, oh, I was like, I wonder if the mic
I'm thrifty as fuck, man. Like when I look at those stands, I'm like, God damn, it's $100. That's $300. And then I'm like, I don't want to leave one janky one here. Am I getting it for?
Yeah,
you know,
it is what it is.
I finally got the foam cover.
Josh Burton's paying for him, so.
Oh, well, fuck. Josh,
I have his credit card number.
Yeah.
Actually, we have a lot of people's credit card numbers.
Yeah, we do.
On the site.
Thank you, patrons.
Yeah, a couple bucks a piece. They won't even know.
We'll keep sending you stuff, I promise. Yeah. It's sort of like a loan.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to borrow mic stands.
Like, just charge, like, will this one charge for $400?
Yeah.
Yes, it works.
You know what my thought was?
Thank you, Nicole.
I know what stopped me is. The mic stand, our cable is inside
the
mic stand.
These are shit cables.
I know, but my thought was, I was like, fuck, it's a project. Like, when I order those cables, I'm going to have to pull all this shit out and, like, re-plug shit in. You know
I'll help
mean?
You.
Know
I won't.
I will be down here.
You'll do it anyway.
It's life as video game. Like, that's one of the last upgrades we have to do.
We have not upgraded in a long time.
I'll make you a deal.
We do that, and it makes we get a plus one on our next podcast.
I'll make you a deal
if we have those.
Order the stands and the cables, and I'll fucking help you.
Yeah,
I'll help you do it.
Okay,
guarantee
it's not that big of a deal.
We can shake on it.
It's just
I'm just saying.
I know.
You know what I mean,
it's just like Velcro and cable management.
Yeah, we'll get everything all cleaned.
Mess something up.
Get everything all cleaned up.
Make even sure though I was good. Just worried, like, even though I do something good and order the stands, rewire and get it all there, one fucking thing goes wrong, like, oh, I can't hear out of the headphones, fucking Britain those mic stands. And it'd be the negative coming at me. I know it would.
Yeah. No, I'll help you. We'll double check everything. We'll make sure
everything's
good.
I build 1,000 bridges. I suck one dick.
Yeah, you're a cocksucker the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So the Weather Underground, piece of advice, if our show...
Subterranean storms is what this is about.
Yeah, if our show inspires you to want to go research and look up some stuff on the Weather Underground, my advice is when you Google it, put Weather Underground and add the word radical.
Just because weather is going to bring up like weather apps.
Because there's apps. There's an app called Weather Underground. It's just like all of your search results. Like you have to
there's
go to
band
like
called
page 3 before you even get to the Wikipedia about this group.
If you get on YouTube though, there is a super prominent documentary that came out in 2002. And that was a good documentary.
Or you could technically do Weather Underground Organization and it'll come up WWUO. But I just started adding radical to all my searches and it would instantly pop up like this group. So.
It's kind of wild too because I watched that documentary and like some of the guys who were like the founders of this shit, the stars of the time that were breaking out bank windows and setting bombs off. One of them is a fucking community college professor.
Yeah.
And he's like, when my students ask me, like, what was I doing around Vietnam time? He's like, oh, I started an anti fucking United States violent overthrow fucking government hating group.
Yeah.
That bombed people.
Right.
And a couple of them, they're not in jail. They're like, I can tell you that
most of them never served time because of
the FBI.
Yeah.
That's weird. That doesn't seem like that should discount your crime. Like, look, I know you killed 1,000 babies, but the way they went about catching you, not so savory. You know what I mean?
Part of it.
They're not allowed to hide a camera in your baby killing kitchen.
They were illegally gathering information on them.
Who cares? Well, I guess you know the reason.
Well, the thing is, though, like all the stuff that they would present in court about the crimes you did were all illegally obtained, which means they can't.
But you know that it happened though, so it can't be used in court. That's a weird thing, though. I guess it's to deter people from doing things illegally because if you still got to use it, everyone would be like, "Fuck it, we still get to use it."
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Why.
It's like, oh, you know, they raid the house. And it was an illegal search, but they still got to use everything they
found.
Then
everybody's going
to
do illegal
search. Everybody's going to do illegal search knowing that, oh, we found the shit. It's
but the alternate
good.
Is you have to let some bad guys go that did some crazy shit to prove to the good guys that like, hey,
it's
good guys
same,
don't do bad stuff,
same,
but the bad guys get to do the bad stuff.
It's the same on the other side where innocent people do get prosecuted for the crime.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, but here's
going
the thing.
To be,
if the FBI talked to a judge and said, hey, can you write on a piece of paper that it's okay if I raid that house? then now you can raid the fucking house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you didn't get that piece of paper first, go fuck yourself. Like, how hard is it to get the piece of paper?
They have to present some evidence and reasons why, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense. I mean, you know, that way you're not having this, you have a judge saying like, okay, yeah, you guys do have probable cause.
Right.
Because you're following the law.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense, you know?
So in summary, if you have no idea what who these people are, I mean, Brent just hit on it, but they were a radical left-wing organization, and their goal was to end capitalism and imperialism and the American machine, right? Yeah. And they wanted to do so via violent revolution, bombings, assassinations, all this stuff. And they were just, I mean, for the most part,
the motto was bring the war home.
Yeah. They were a group of college kids and they were trying to basically Black Pantherize white youth.
And it didn't start that way. It was
No. It started.
Yeah, it never does.
More slowly. It never does. But that was what they did. They bombed things. They burnt down houses. They did all kinds of crazy
That's
shit.
The truth. This started with like a college organization that was like wanted to be democratic.
It was a club.
And it ended with like crazy fucking orgies and explosions.
Yeah.
And people dying and shit.
I mean, Stalin.
Yeah.
Right.
All of it.
It's how it works.
And they got their name from a Bob Dylan lyric that said, "You don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows." That's
actually the cover art.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So they ended up taking that, and they're one of their initial papers that described their stance and what they wanted to do at this big student organization was called the same thing. And then everyone started to call them the weathermen. So,
Then it's the weather underground though. So it's all, I don't know, they have nicknames.
They become the underground later.
Right.
They called this document, it called for a white fighting force that would be allied with the Black Liberation Movement and the Black Panther Movement. And they saw that what the Black Panthers were doing and all these other groups were doing with, you know, like violent resistance and so on to change the system. They didn't believe, you know, again, this, you know, 60s fucking, it's a different time.
It's kind of cool too. Like you have an organization like this that is like white people merging with the Black Panther type deal. Right. And then you have like something I didn't know. Like one of my favorite rap groups is called the Weathermen.
Oh, really?
I didn't know why. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But then you start figuring out like, oh, it's white rappers with Black rappers and they're doing things different than the system.
Nice.
You know what I mean? So all these things come together, like things you don't know.
Right.
Like you learn cool shit, you know? Just studying like a random thing like this. You're like, oh fuck, I've been connected with something that I knew about.
Right.
That I never knew that it came from this thing, you know? And it's pretty cool.
And it was, they did a lot of stuff and they never got where they wanted to. They never got the recognition. They never got the size. I think they didn't have a spokesperson. I think they needed a leader. Like instead of a group,
you needed
of
a
people,
Malcolm X.
Like,
or yeah, a
you
fucking,
needed
you know,
a you
they
needed
were sort
a charismatic
like
leader.
Cell.
Well, they were, but even with that, they still needed an Osama. They still needed someone to hype everyone up and to keep a focus. Because even though they acted truly as a terrorist
they needed
group,
their Malcolm or their,
and there were different terror cells all throughout the nation.
I mean, are you really a country without a president or a leader?
Right.
They or needed, a king. You know what I mean? Like every you know.
And even if every cell was doing their own shit, they needed that. Focused. The 60s was all about those people, right? It was all about that focal person. It was fucking Bobby Kennedy or Malcolm X
or Bobby Brown.
That might have been strangely like against their thought process because they're like trying to fight imperialism and shit. And maybe they were thinking
they didn't
like,
want a leader.
They don't want a leader. They wanted to be a Republican.
And that's
all,
the fault
like,
right there.
And
you know,
all
like,
voting for it as one.
Well, but you're not going to get the numbers though.
Yeah.
That leader gets the numbers.
Yeah. Jim Jones brung the people in.
Exactly. They never had the recruitment that they needed, which I think is ultimately.
And that goes to show you too, like leadership, like it doesn't matter how crazy the fucking idea is. Mm-hmm. If you have leaders that promote what you're doing and that are charismatic enough to bring people in, like people follow.
And it also speaks to because you have to think about it. In the 1960s, there's like the hippie movement.
Yeah.
That's like, we should all be making love, not war. And we need to find peaceful ways to solve everything and use the law and blah, blah, blah.
Like now.
But then there's this movement that's like the exact, it's like, fuck hippies. Fuck that. We're going to this violently. We're going to blow shit up. And it's like, then you look at the Black side of things as well. Like the fight for civil rights, you've got the Malcolm X's and you've got the Nation
Martin
of Islam. Islam that then, yeah. and the Black Panthers who are wanting to do it via violent resistance, but then you get Martin Luther King saying, yeah. no, we have to do it peaceful. It wins because Martin Luther King wins. Like, he's got the charisma. He's got yeah. the juice. If everybody wants to listen to yeah. him. If,
well,
if,
the other thing that happens, too, I think, is, like, during that time, like, Vietnam, people getting drafted, like... The oppression or the being forced into the corner, you change your morality. You have justification for your actions where you're like, it's okay that I'm going to blow up some innocent people because it's for the betterment of the whole world. Like, this is what it's going to take. But when you have that mindset, it's scary because you're doing it like religion makes you do it for God. Like, oh, I'm going
to
be with.
It's a clouded mindset. Like, you're only having this thing.
Like, I kill these people with a suicide bomb because I'm going to heaven. When you believe that what you believe in is the only way. And it's right because you've been oppressed or forced into that position. It's dangerous.
And like I said, it's a clouded thing because like I have strong beliefs about certain things and me and Dave would disagree on them or me and you would disagree on them or you and Dave would disagree.
I never know what you guys are talking about.
Well, the thing is though, like you have this opinion on something and you might have like knowledge and research and everything to back it up. But in the end, there is your bias there and there's always something that you're not thinking of.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's always this thing that's like, oh no, Dave's points are good.
Right.
My points are good too.
Right.
But there's always that other side. There's always something else that's like, nah, you fucked up. Like you did this, but your vision was clouded in that sense. You know?
Yeah, I would imagine in hindsight, some of them, but when you look at the interviews, not really. Like you would think if that were the case, it was totally clouded vision. In hindsight, when you interview these people that were major proponents of the movement, that they would look back and say, what was I thinking? We fucking bombed like these places. We bombed the police station. We bombed all the shit, but they don't. They literally said, I would do it again. We might do things a little different, but I feel like it was necessary at the time.
Right.
Because fucking Vietnam's rough, man.
Yeah.
Like we've never covered that, but damn, they were just killing innocent people, just fucking shooting people in villages. Yeah. It was terrible,
Burning down napalm, fucking raping people.
And you would get forced into it. Can you imagine getting drafted to do something you totally disagree with?
I guess since I'm here, I'll burn the fucking place down. I mean,
but if we disagree with something so strongly and they're going to make you go do it, you know what I mean?
You can say no. I mean, you
can't say no. You go to jail.
You can. Yeah. Well, that's what they would do.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you can do it. You can say no.
Right.
Yep. You know, you have to face the consequences.
Get a court martial and do whatever.
You either go and kill the babies.
Or get a court martial.
Or get the court martial and sit in jail.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Right. I mean, it's, you know.
That's a tough time, man.
So
times are different.
People are like, they made me do it. Well, they kind of didn't.
Right.
You know, I mean, you chose.
Yeah, they gave you an order and you followed it. Yeah. So it stems from a group called the Students for a Democratic Society, and it was a student movement, multiple college campuses all over, you know, because they were having like national conferences and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they were largely against the Vietnam War, and they were largely against economic oppression. They were, I mean, the same stuff that a lot of people are against right now. It's like most of the stuff that I was reading, most of the stuff that their philosophy was, et cetera, was like Bernie Sanders if he wasn't a pussy.
Yeah.
Like that was like, take Bernie Sanders, give him a bomb and a big pair of balls.
Right.
And they're kind of in the same camp, you know, like Bernie Sanders tiptoes around communism. And these guys are like, no, we need to endorse communism. And Bernie Sanders tiptoes around the government's fucked up. And they're like, yeah, so we need to declare war on the government and end it.
You know what makes you think that one day he's just going to win? Because he's so impressionable. Like, you can, when I say that, I don't mean that definition, but like, you can do an impression of that man. He's so unique in his character that there is obviously a clear impression.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's why people win. Comedians can do it. Yeah, you can do a Trump. You can do an Obama.
If SNL can do an impression of you, you probably have a solid chance at winning.
Politician though, you can almost
sometimes
do,
it's boring though. It's
like, sometimes they're just like, dude.
I guess that's why what's his name, Mitt Romney,
right?
You know, like he was just fucking.
He had a lot going for him with magic underwear and fucking Mexican drug wars and all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think you might be onto something. Yeah. The comedians are key. like if SNL can fucking nail you, you can do win the president,
and it's got to be a good one though. I mean, that's why Sean Connery's so big. You can nail the Sean Connery.
They need to change the thought process behind campaign managers.
Right,
they could save a lot of money.
Need to get rid of the Electoral College.
They just need comedians to do good impressions.
Yes, we do.
Well, no, but we need to get rid of it because it just needs to be
comedians.
It should be determined by comedians on late night television.
Yeah.
Like whoever.
That's true. Yeah. I think it'd be all right.
It should just be a laugh meter.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that's who wins the election. There's laugh meters at impersonations of presidential candidates, and whoever gets the most average laughs wins the presidency.
I mean, I think you get the same results. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
You get like 100%. Yeah, you get the same results, so it's not going to change anything, but it's going to be way funnier.
Again, with the exception of someone like current president, because he existed before and there's years of material, but a lot of these people come out of nowhere. Like, you didn't hear about who the fuck was Obama, and then all of a sudden he's the president.
Right.
Is after they've been president for a while, because they've gotten enough material to start to to hone that in, though. Right. So it's hard to do impressions before they actually win, though.
The comedian's got to step their game up.
But you can tell when there's super hard accent, like little unique things.
Yeah.
Yeah. John McCain.
Idiosyncrasies. Yeah. Just his arms. Like you don't say. You don't have to say anything. You just stand there in a T-Rex suit and shake your arms. Yeah.
So the SDS, which stands for Smallfoot Evidentiary Society.
No.
What?
Yeah.
Denture Society.
Students for Democratic something.
Smallfoot Socialism. Evidentiary Society.
Mm-mm, no.
I'm pretty sure that's what it stands for.
I looked it up.
I'd say like some of their, it's same thing with anybody. Like some of their beliefs are like, I can get along with that. But it's like the fucking communist thing, the fucking, like some of that shit, you're like, okay guys, like now you're just taking a little too far.
So the group is, the SDS is doing campus organizing.
They call it SIDS.
Working on community organizations. They're doing stuff in like poor neighborhoods, to try to get like, you know, some interracial movement, members for their movement. They wanted it because, like, you have to keep in mind, I mean, in the 60s at a college, almost everybody was going to be white. So they were trying to involve African Americans. They were trying to involve, and that's all you really read about is African Americans, but I have to assume they were probably also trying to include, you know, Mexicans and so forth, like everything. But
I really feel like in that time zone, time frame, in that era, like Asians and Mexicans and everybody who is of different, you know, than just the standard white or black person gets fucking left out.
Oh, completely.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they were here.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean,
cause
you talk about like even in World War II, like the Japanese get persecuted, put into camps, you know what I mean? Like, but that's it. That's all you hear about it. But then you don't hear about like once, you know, the black and the white and all these issues come out. Or not come out, but like they start fighting and start trying to figure it out.
Right.
You don't hear about the Asians and the, like, did they just sit quiet and like wait? Like, are they smarter? Were they doing math?
I don't know that there's such an embedded racial divide there, but as
you don't think so? You don't think that the guy, man, this fucking slant eye, you know, like,
oh, for sure there was, but it wasn't like ingrained in multiple generations of, I mean, it was like, America was built by like black and white, and it was much, much later when, you know, Asians are starting to come over in San Francisco and Portland and, Mexicans always would have been in that area, but they're not in the deep South. They're not. I mean, when I went to high school in Michigan, there was one Mexican in my graduating class.
Hmm. Yeah.
Like I can't conceive of that.
That was a long time. It was in the 40s.
That was a long time. Yeah, it was 1947.
Michigan's a long way from Mexico, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's true. You have more Canadians.
A lot more.
Yeah.
So as things got worse, as Vietnam got worse, as social discord got worse, the people in charge of the SDS started to split into two camps. And one camp was, let's be peaceful. Let's, you know, do the hippie side of things. Yeah. And the other camp is radicalized and wants to see some crazy shit happen. And they publish a document called Towards a Revolutionary Youth Movement. And that's their goal, is to get a revolutionary youth movement. They want youth to revolt and to riot in the streets. And to, instead of getting youth to get high and have sex and be hippies, they want youth to arm themselves and learn fucking karate and build bombs and do some Tyler Durden shit.
Yeah, they're against
disrupt
war.
The system.
Are they against war, though?
They're against the Vietnam War. They're against wars.
But they want war.
They're against wars
themselves.
By oppressor. They're against wars that are oppressors to oppressees. Like the U.S. government oppresses the world and attacks small countries, and that's what they were against. And they wanted to wage war against America in order to free the
bring
peoples.
It home.
Bring it home. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
which is a thing when we war is so far away from us always. You know what I mean? We're not dodging fucking mortars on our way to fucking.
If it was
work.
Here. Things would probably change.
When you start seeing
like,
that's happening.
Fuck this
happening.
Fucking
like, oh, my
like,
fucking cousin got killed by a fucking random drone strike that hit a school when they were aiming for this other place. Yeah.
Fuck this. Yeah. Right. Or you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
so at the SDS convention on D-Day plus 12, 1969. They're trying to decide how are we going to move forward with this. And that was when You Don't Need a Weatherman to Know Which Way the Wind Blows comes out. And it's written by the key figures, a woman named Karen Ashley, a guy named Bill Ayers, a woman named Bernadette Dorn. These three all end up being on the fucking FBI top 10 most wanted list within a handful of years.
They're basically fucking terrorists.
They are terrorists. Yeah. Like that's exactly what they are. Yeah.
I guess I tiptoed around it a little bit, but yeah, terrorists. I mean,
they admit it themselves at some point.
Yeah.
You know,
they are. I mean, they're just doing it at home. Like they're doing it in their own place.
Part of what helped them win this like student caucus, I guess, and make it blow in their favor. And I used caucus and blow in one sentence.
Yeah, I was gonna say, wow.
Is that there was a Black Panther named Fred Hampton, who the police killed, and this was their call to outrage. Like this is
that was the one at the house.
This is the type of thing that keeps going.
See the pictures or footage of that?
No,
they clearly just went in and killed that dude. Like they put like dowels through the bullet holes in the walls and door, and it's just like fucking hundreds of bullet holes through this fucking guy's door. And then they're like, no, like he tried to run or whatever with a gun, and they shot him. It's like the mattress in the room. He's just like laying in bed, fucking covered in blood. Like clearly, I mean, he's in the hallway or something. He's dead, but like the matches, like they shot him in bed, like we see fucking
they shot through the house. He got up and ran and killed him. Yeah,
because he was a voice, you know, he was like a threat. He could become a political leader, so he was basically assassinated.
Yeah. Right. So the Weathermen end up taking over this national group, and they say that the oppressed peoples create the wealth that the empire spends.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, they were basically like the, you know, talking about one percenters before that was a thing, right? The government has all the money. The corporations have all the money. The poor people do all the work that puts these people in power. Then these people oppress us even more, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. That's kind of their big thing.
Welcome to life. It hasn't changed. Exactly.
They say the goal fucking of the revolution has to be controlling the wealth and controlling policies overseas and not letting.
But then you turn into the oppressors. Sure. I mean, when you're controlling the wealth, like that's why I think, like a lot of the, like we've done a lot of dictators and whatnot, dictator tots. And I really feel like
anymore.
No, it's always there. But I really feel like, and we've touched on before, that everything is led back to like, hey, they started out with a good mission.
Right, and then someone else takes over.
And then all of a sudden it's back to what it was or worse,
right,
you know?
Right.
So that's why it's even hard. Like if a group came along like this now and I was like, fuck yeah, like this really sounds good. In the back of my head though, I'd be thinking this exact same thing.
Which motherfucker?
Who's taking over this shit? Because it has to be me in order for me to gain anything, because if not, I'm going to be the oppressed again. Right. Like it seems like it never
works
out. It's
tough. I think like when you really, if you were ever in the position, you have to understand that there are necessary evils. You know what I mean? Like,
well, for sure.
Some shit going has to happen a lot of times for the world to continue to happen. Cause you're not going to get like, you know what I mean? Like China's not going to stop burning trash and fucking recycling and fix all the air. Even
unless
if we did
they're
our best, right?
Not there anymore.
Cause everyone's not doing what's for everyone's best interest. Yeah, you're always doing what's in your best interest. Exactly. And so we end up having to do some things. There's definitely some shit we do that's bad. But like some of the things that we do, we have to invade and do something because of some resource or some bullshit. It's not always a money grab, probably. Mm-hmm. Some of it's about control and power and economics and fucking drawing lines between things to keep a balance. Because if we didn't do some of those things, maybe they would
look at Britain. I mean, Britain has tried to control land. You know what I mean? Like just that from the beginning, you know what I mean? Like they tried to control America. They tried to control, Australia.
They did.
Yeah. You know, China, you know, they've gotten into the center of China. You know what I mean? Like, and like, it's just continuous, you know, like,
Thing I think like if we, no one should have nuclear weapons, but if we didn't, if we said we quit, we didn't really quit. And if we did quit, then Russia would have a fucking shit ton or China or someone would just walk all over.
Yeah. We wouldn't
have to spend billions of dollars on military power to do some of this shit. And so some of these wars that are terrible, as much as I hate to say it, sometimes some of those things are a necessity.
Sometimes.
From a political, like geopolitical,
Vietnam War,
standpoint, like
Vietnam War. No, you know what I mean. Like the like I would.
We
say,
don't even know everything that's behind everything, though. I can't even say that. That we don't know. There's so
I would
shit.
Say I would say Vietnam War. Yes, because
you would say it was a necessity.
My take on the Vietnam War has always been that the Vietnam War, I mean, it was the Cold War and the Vietnam War. Us versus the Viet Cong was really us versus Russia. Like that was, yeah. It was the United States. It was democracy versus communism.
Yeah.
And it was happening in Vietnam. The Viet Cong were being fed by the Chinese, who were being fed by the Russians. Like, you know, their side was hosted and fed by the Soviet Union, by China. And we were fighting the Soviet Union and China without ever having to launch a nuke, without ever having to shoot a Russian or a Chinese.
Yeah.
That's who we were. That's what that
was.
That's what
our avatars. Was. It was, yeah, like that, exactly, represented the chessboard.
Yeah. Right.
Those, exactly, were chess pieces.
Right. Right. And,
you know, I think it's weird
because our people were dying and theirs, right, weren't. You know what, right, I mean? Like, that's.
And Vietnam was, I think, a loss,
we got,
in the Cold War.
And that's where
War,
we got outplayed.
The moon landing was a win in the Cold, yeah, War. Like, it just depends on the Cold War.
That's why we had to do the fake moon landing.
Right, because we had to recoup, yeah, from Vietnam.
I think when, yeah, this kind of stuff happens, you just always have to remember that you don't know what you don't know. You know what I mean?
Right. You don't. Yeah, you can't figure, yeah, it out.
Who fucking, yeah.
You can't ask the question if
you don't know.
You don't know
if Tom Cruise is fucking saving the day in the middle of the fucking night. You don't know what's happening. Like, we just,
and some of that stuff's never reported. Like, even though documents come out 30 years later and all that stuff, like, I believe there's probably a lot of stuff that just doesn't show up.
Right.
That being said, on the radar. Being a revolutionary sounds really fun.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go, like,
well, that's because
I want to go,
benefit,
like, break into the animal lab and free the monkeys. I want to go do all that stuff.
If in the end you win, you benefit, though.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you get to be the deciding factor on what happens next.
Right.
Which would be good in the beginning, and you'd make new roads and everyone would be happy, and then you'd start fucking everybody's wife and smash monogamy.
Right.
Yeah.
It all happens that way.
So their goal was the end of U.S. imperialism and a classless world, like the beginning of a classless world.
Which seems almost impossible.
It is. And the FBI, it is based on our current tech level.
I think even though, like, if you think about it, like, that sounds great. Like, I don't want to have to work. Like, if everybody, or if we all work, you know what I mean? Like, but it seems like being on a level playing field with everybody almost seems impossible based on IQ and work ethic alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like the doctor who's fucking saving everybody, I don't get the same as him. You know what I mean? Like, or what would make that fair to us? You know what I mean? If we did get the same, I don't know.
I think in order for that to happen, technology has to be greater.
Yes.
So
why is that? What's technology have to do?
Well, so no one have to work. Like, robots do all this shit, but, and then you could all just relax and do art or whatever you chose to entertain yourself. You know,
that's definitely a big part of it. I mean, I think
that would be bad.
It's scary. We're super close to it, man. I think it really would be bad.
Like, people would turn into fucking nothings.
We're on the doorstep of this happening, though. Like, automation's going to increase, and people are not going to have jobs. There's going to be people that have.
True. Yeah.
The skills for the wrong set.
So if that was the case, like, I still don't see equal classes, though. I see people not working.
Well, here's the thing, though. So you'd end up,
food.
Here's the thing. You would end up, like, to me, you would end up still having some sort of a social incentive. Like, you still need to contribute to society in order to get your rent and your food
but that would create classes, not necessarily
because you all get the same. So it's like if my contributing to society is I'm a painter, mm-hmm, I'm just going to sit in my house all day and paint, and I'm going to fucking have paint and fucking sell it at First Friday or give it away
or whatever. Unit of measurement. Or there has to be a quota. Like, it's hard to quantify.
That's why we don't have.
What about the guy?
There's no quantifying the skill. You're still doing something. You're bettering yourself. You're creating a product. You're not just sitting
and
on the fucking
buys
couch.
Those paintings
you're not
from
just
you?
Sitting on the couch eating Cheetos all day.
You don't
like
buy anything.
Like, you would have to predetermine these are things that our society values, and as long as you are contributing to one of these things, you're a member of society.
Yeah, but then what happens to your paintings? Those have value and they get traded for fucking
you give them away.
Bread. You just give them to someone.
Yeah. Or you don't. You keep them all, but at the end of the day, you are bettering yourself along one of the things.
But how does that help society, though?
Because who gives a fuck? The robots create all the food, all the electricity, everything is generated. All the food, all the materials, fucking nanotech, everything is there. I don't need anything. I don't need money for a thing.
Right.
So you could just say, if you're still doing something, like, I just work out all the time. I want to be a perfect, healthy specimen. I work out all the time. That's my value.
And I donate to the sperm bank.
I'm not just sitting there eating fucking cheese all day fucking watching
or you
videos.
Are
but what about those people that do though?
Yeah, what
that's
do they
gonna
do?
Fucking
why does
happen?
That matter? Why does it matter if they do?
I raised this in objection to you guys.
No, I'm just saying that that's what makes it hard because
yeah,
if
that's
you
not
don't
an argument
because there's
a, well no to me I don't give a fuck.
No,
then
you're
eat
right.
your Cheetos and
you're
watch right. videos. Everything's covered. Everything's paid for. That doesn't matter.
You're
if
right.
you want to fucking.
But
have
you're saying
cardiac that, arrest at 18 because all you did was eat Cheetos.
You're
and
saying
watch
though
porn,
being a productive member of society, but there's going to be a billion people who because there's already people out there who work now. They work. They go to work every day. And if you just straight up said, hey, You can keep going to work, but you don't have to.
But what work would still be in place? How much work would still be in place?
I'm just saying
full automation.
I'm just saying
plumbers.
There's going to have to be something. There's mechanics. Yeah. Mechanics are going to have to fix machines.
Someone has to fix that fucking toilet.
Why can't the toilet
computer
fix the
programmers?
Toilet? Why can't a robot fix the robot?
That's way down the road. That's
what I'm saying. Yeah. We don't have the technology for it yet.
Right. I guess way fucking down the road.
I don't think that's as
that.
Way as you think
it's,
it is.
It's idiocracy.
You would have to have a super articulate robot that could figure out very specified,
it'd
like
Android,
like, oh, this little bar is bent just wrong versus, or they trade out the whole fucking unit. They're like, oh, this toilet is broken. It's really just a spring, but it's like, fuck it. I'm able to change the whole unit, and they take it back and just destroy it and re-quantify it into some new matter.
Yep.
That shit's like looking into space.
Possibly.
You know what I mean? Like when you look into space, you just go like, fuck.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean, when we reach a point where we don't need wealth, where everything is provided by robotics, by nanotech,
but you would have to have a government that's providing that, though. Yes. You know what I mean? You'd have to have people.
Well, you would have to have an organization that is providing it.
But those people are going to feel like they're better.
I don't think the robots.
Fuck, people that go to church think they're better than people that don't. You know what I mean? And that has nothing to do with wealth.
You know what I'm saying?
I think it's human. I think
like who cares if they think they're better?
Can we name the robots
Charles? Cut that everybody else does.
But what if they want more? You know what I mean? Like that's the human nature. I believe is the problem. Like because
it's a big problem.
I'm just saying. You know what I mean? Like there's people who want
someone will still want a slightly bigger TV or some shit. Yeah, it's like why do they get?
Well, then go get a bigger TV.
Yeah, but some crazy ass wants 37 of the TVs. The robot's gonna be like, no, you don't need 37 TVs, human.
Why? Let them have 37 TVs. It doesn't fucking matter.
That sounds crazy.
It's a safety concern or something. It's too many resources not rationed out and allocated across the population. There's a reason to not have 37 TVs. It's a sign of mental illness, which may be a threat to your neighbor. Like we don't know what their morals are gonna be. Like, I don't know what morality a robot has. Do they even care like that we're going to fucking get that? Or are they going to feed us gruel through tubes and we get what we get? I don't even think you get to paint. Like, what if you want more paint? They're like, no, we need that. We're using that for this other fucking thing over here.
See, but you're putting a sentience on the robotics that I'm not.
That's going to be there, though.
That sounds crazy. I don't want that.
If you're at that level of tech, there will be sentient. Like, it will be smart.
Even if it's not sentient.
It's making
even
that if, right now, it's
if
doing
right
that.
Now, if with genetic manipulation
what
and
about the
robotic
guy that wants
field
the
workers, we have all the food that we need. All food. Every human on Earth
we don't
can
have to buy
eat.
Food.
We don't have to worry about food. Mm-hmm. Food is free. We have solar farms and wind farms and fucking new forms of
electricity.
Okay. You know, energy's
electricity.
Free. We don't need to worry about fucking anything. Like we end up with some super recycling mega thing that's fucking churning all the trash out of mm-hmm. dumps and creating plastics and metals and everything.
Yeah. It eats bullets and shits ice
exactly.
cream.
Exactly. So we have cars. We have you have like cars and electronics.
But
and
what about the guy?
Everything is free.
What about
like
the guy that
point?
Wants the mansion? You know what I mean? Like you're getting like everybody gets allocated. Like you get this place.
Can't let everyone have a mansion.
Yeah,
you don't get a
everybody
mansion.
Wants a mansion.
Well, then you don't get 37
that's,
TVs.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
if you have
what I'm
if you
like,
have the same size apartment
that.
As everybody else does, and you can fit 37 TVs in it, then have 37 TVs.
But what if they want 38?
What if I don't want an apartment? Though?
Does it
I don't
fit
want
your
apartment? What about the guy that wants land?
So there are limitations. Though.
There's only so much land.
There's a lot of land we don't use.
Yeah, there's limitations.
Can Brad have alpacas when he gets his land?
If he's got land.
Do I have to apply for the land?
I don't know.
I see what you're saying, in theory.
No,
I think
everybody has a point. It's just, it's like, man, like, that's, it's just crazy. I feel like there's...
Here's the thing. I think it's doable at a higher tech level than we are, and it's doable at a higher mental level than we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we have to be prepared for it, and we have to be... But again, if you look at a fucking monarchy from 200 years ago, no one would have thought, one day, the son of a slave could become ruler of the world
right.
like yeah. bullshit like that's ridiculous poppycock you know like yeah. that's you know we would never stand for that yeah. black isn't even human
yeah.
like
he has the night blood
the mindset yeah. changes and the technology changes we're not there yet yeah. but right. I can like we're the weathermen and close to it at all absolutely not
right. I really in feel theory, like the I don't know I really feel like the Truman Show, you know what I mean? Like if you take that, for example, everything's set up perfect and like they're doing stuff in it, but then he even starts having, and I know it's a movie, whatever, right. but I'm just using it as an example. Mm-hmm. Even he starts figuring out like, wait a minute,
Well, they say the Matrix, the original society was set up to be like paradise, utopian, like, and that we wouldn't accept it. Like you said, your mind has to change. Like, we would not accept
Adam and Eve in the garden, even in a Bible story. There's she still chooses.
I think one of the reasons I'm so pro it is there's a good series of novels that shows like a small group of people that are able to use technology to truly sort of come up with this new society where everything can be kind of based not on money, but on social merits.
I think too, like, you're right. If you were born into it and like that's the way it was, just like kids now with technology,
right?
Like, you're like just watching my 3-year old go through GarageBand on my tablet,
right?
Like, he's fucking like making instruments, and he already just watches for 2 seconds and can figure it out because he knows you swipe on a phone. He knows, you know what I mean? Like, he's been born into the technology,
right?
As older people weren't and can't figure out how to send an email.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, I don't know. So
I would say if you want to know more, read the novels that I'm talking about.
Which ones?
They're mine.
Oh, shit.
Nice plug.
Thank you. I won't plug them too hard because they're still not republished yet. Because
you should plug the shit out of them. I'll plug up the appetite.
I will.
You got to start. You know how they do like movie trailers before the movie's out?
There you go.
You're fucking up. You can't wait till they're out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, slight digression. The FBI, once it started investigating, they looked at the leaders of the new Weather Underground movement, and they said that they were traveling and meeting with members of foreign governments, particularly Cuban and North Vietnamese leaders, to learn how their societies ran and all that kind of stuff, and to get ideas of how to do this revolution and so forth. So it's not like these were untrained people. They were training in martial arts. And the first time I read, like, they all started studying martial arts, I was like, give me a fucking break. But then as you look a couple of years down the line, when they're doing shit and the cops show up, they start whooping cop asses because they've seriously been studying martial arts.
Yeah, cops were dunking their fucking Dunkin' Donuts in their coffee, you know, and these motherfuckers are out there like learning.
So the Weathermen are born, and part of it is a reaction to something called the Chicago Seven, which is a whole group that gets arrested for spreading discord in Chicago. And they're, you know, trying to resist this idea of the Chicago Seven. And that's all kind of part of what's happening. It ramps up pretty quickly. So they end up on, in June of 1969, they splinter off and become the Weathermen.
Yeah.
And by October of 1969, they're blowing up their first shit. Right.
So the statue story is awesome.
I have to say, 1969 was a good year for cars.
That was my first bus. My first Volkswagen bus was 69.
Like, that's a fantastic year.
That's a good year for cars.
For vehicles.
Yeah. So their first bombing is in October 6, 1969. They blow up a statue in Chicago that is there for, it's a statue that celebrates like, or that remembers police casualties in a riot in 1886. Mm-hmm. And they're anti-pig and anti-establishment, so they want to blow up this statue. Yeah. So they blow up the statue, right?
That's kind of pissed the police off.
Like 100 windows blow up. It blows up onto the freeway, like all this shit. So they, in 1970, on May 4th, they rebuild the statue. And in October of 1970, they blow it up again. So
when do they make it out of bronze?
They rebuild again. Like, I think they were bronze, but the bronze is hollow.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. That was a shrapnel bomb.
They rebuild it again. And they put a 24-hour police guard to protect it so it doesn't get blown up.
See, that statue means something to somebody.
But they blow it up.
Wow. Somehow. It didn't say.
Yeah, it didn't say, but they blew it up again.
Huh.
And then finally they rebuilt the monument and they put it at the police headquarters. So that nobody could
I wonder if Fight Club did have any like fucking...
pull off of this?
Yeah.
It's very Fight Club.
I'm sure.
Man. It's very Fight Club.
There's a ton of stuff in history that's like this, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this has happened not just...
But just
this
like
the
anti-corporate, the
anti-American, like that's all very Tyler Durden. Like this is Tyler Durden without Tyler, which again, it speaks to the power of having a leader. Like you throw Tyler Durden into this group and you've got a different movement.
Oh, you got a fucking, that shit's like, fucking solid.
Army.
That shit is solid, yeah.
So this explosion is a couple days before what they call the 4 days of rage, which they intend to be thousands
of... It was actually a Rage Against the Machine concert.
Yeah, it was. It was a festival. Yeah,
it's for the people of the sun, they said.
They intended it to be a multiple day event in and around Chicago where all of the weathermen would descend, thousands and thousands of them, mm-hmm. and they would completely disrupt the city, break windows, fuck shit up to show the rage mm-hmm. that
Rebel
the youth
myth.
Has.
Yeah.
Right. So on October 6th of 1969, they blow up the statue. And October 8th, they finally get all their thousands of members together in Chicago, and it's only 800.
Oh.
So the 800 people show up.
They just break. Instead of breaking windows, they break wind.
And the cops can just mow you down. Like if you have National Guard going, they're just going to mow you down.
Well, 2,000 police showed up.
Oh, fuck. You fucked up.
But they know karate, bro. Yeah.
They do know karate.
Yeah, but karate ain't going to stop a bullet.
But they riot, and the police whoop their ass and beat them down. And then they say, we're going to, you know,
is this
gonna,
when everybody was kung fu fighting? What year was that?
I think might that be. Was after, that might've been after this. That
Brad's
had to
got
be
his
after
phone.
This.
That was from this. Like,
yeah.
Like they made it.
No, I'm going to call kung fu fighting like 77.
You think it's that late?
Yeah, it probably is actually.
I'm going to call it 77.
It's the whole Bruce Lee time and.
Part of me says 71, but 77 keeps pulling me towards it. So they regroup and only 300 are willing to keep going.
74,
split the middle. So only three, like 500 are like, this is bullshit. Like we just got our asses whooped. I'm not doing this again. And 300 are like, let's do it.
300 is the number though.
Yeah. 300 is the number.
300 Spartans. Yeah, Sparta. Yeah.
So they go to, Lincoln Park. And
another concert already?
Yeah. Man, they leave the Rage concert, go over to Linkin Park. These are some fucking pansies right here. I don't like them already.
So they riot. They start breaking windows. They start destroying shit around the park. And it only
like
lasts
park
for
concert.
About a half hour.
Yeah.
And 28 cops were injured. 6 weathermen were shot because the cops aren't fucking around.
Yeah,
damn. No rubber bullets?
Concert,
no tear gas?
No. Yeah, the concert stopped because the lead singer killed himself.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened.
So 68 get arrested, and that's on October 8th. That's the first day of rage. The second day of rage is the women's militia. And they end up taking
these are the ladies, ladies of rage.
Yeah, it's that's the gorgeous right. ladies
yeah,
of
ladies rage.
Rage. Glar.
Yeah.
How good is the marketing of rage that when
is
you
it
say
really?
Rage, I really do just
no.
think about rage.
Okay.
It's the women's. Say, it's the women's militia.
I said Lady of Rage, the rapper. You remember her, Lady Rage? You don't remember Lady Rage? Uh-uh. What?
No.
Oh man.
So 70 women meet at Grant Park, and Bernadette Dorn, they're one of the leaders of all the weathermen.
It's 140
I rock rough and stuff with my Afro puff. You remember that song?
I remember
oh
that.
Oh, my
when
God. Really?
I know that.
Must have been.
90s, dude. Yeah.
I have a dead spot. In
I thought it was rough
really?
And tough.
You must.
My, rough and tough with my Afro puff.
All
yeah,
I was
rock rough and stuff.
All I was listening to was.
Tough.
Maybe.
All I was listening to was NWA and Public Enemy.
Wow.
That was my entire rap rotation.
Yeah,
and some old school shit.
You were rap deficient in vitamins.
I was.
Yeah. You could go blind doing that. There's some kid in the UK that happened to.
So they wanted
Did
to
it?
Raid.
Yeah, he only listened to, yeah, just one rap album. And he went deaf.
Yeah.
Because he didn't get his vitamin R.
Yeah. He wanted to, or they wanted to raid a draft board office, but the cops stopped him and arrest them all. On October 10th, there's an interracial march, which is more peaceful, but they end up with 2,000 people through the Spanish-speaking part of Chicago. So now you've got the Hispanics, you've got African-Americans, you've got whites, and it's a more peaceful thing.
Right.
But I'm sure the cops were just surrounding that march. They're like, oh, fuck, now there's 2,000 of them. If this shit goes south, we've got a problem on our hands. But it didn't go south. It ended up staying civil.
It went north.
Because they got Mexican judo on their side now.
They do, yeah.
Judo don't know if they got a knife.
Judo don't know if they got a gun. You don't know if they got roast beef. You don't know if they went wee 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 all the way home.
Now they gotta fight one on one now.
Yeah,
I gotta fight nobody. Yeah,
Dave's like, nah.
They gotta fight one on one. No, that's gonna be one on John.
Yeah.
So October 11th, they regroup and they try to get more protest going, and they go down to the Loop, which was where we went, where the giant metal space egg is. when we were in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. That happened right there.
I don't know if that existed yet back then. I don't think so. I doubt it did. But that's where they were.
1974.
Like. The main business district. And they smash windows, fucking light cars on fire, you know, smash stores.
Yeah.
They do what they can. But within 15 minutes of the riot, the police have them surrounded and arrest half of the crowd and the other half runs off. And this is some fucking cold-blooded shit right here. So a guy named Richard Elrod, who's a city attorney, tries to tackle one of the weathermen in the scuffle, and in the fight, he gets paralyzed.
Oh,
right. So this lawyer gets paralyzed. I don't know.
He could have hurt his neck or something. Stone.
Probably, yeah.
Maybe his neck.
So he's charged, the guy who fought him, charged with attempted murder and other crimes, but he was acquitted. Like nothing happens to him. So this guy's paralyzed. The weathermen make a song later on, which is a parody of Bob Dylan's song, Lay Lady Lay. Except it's Lay Elrod Lay. Aww. Lay on the street for a while. Stay Elrod Stay. Stay in your bed for a while.
I mean, where did they like sing they this fucking, though?
Like I have no. Yeah. It says they released it.
Oh wow,
oh, man.
So not only do the weathermen cripple this guy, they make a fucking song talking shit about it. That's cold blooded.
Wow, that was a diss track right there. Yeah. A diss record.
That's a fucking cold blooded.
I wonder if Elrod came back with one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he changed his name to Elrod Hubbard.
Yeah, Elrod Hubbard
started the cult.
Elrod's in your spine. Yeah,
that was the whole.
That was Spanish for his surgery.
Yeah, that was the whole
Elrod
basis.
Elrod in your neck.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh man.
L pins in your back.
So that was the 4 days of rage. It didn't quite have the spunk that they thought it was going to have.
You can't use spunk for that.
Which is kind of the story of the of the weather underground.
Yeah.
Like they keep having these big plans, but they just never get enough people. They don't have the numbers. Yeah. They don't have the recruitment.
You know why, though? Because it's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's kind of crazy.
Exit, stage left.
I was going to do it.
It's kind of crazy. Yeah.
No, it is kind of crazy, and it's not a universal concern.
No.
Like when you get every single black person in America to either support Malcolm or Martin, it's because they all have the same vision of freedom from oppression, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to get middle-class, wealthy white kids who have no problems with the system to fucking blow shit up and burn houses down and have a problem with the system.
Yeah,
it's one of the reasons that revolution is difficult right now in America, because at the end of the day,
so
with your shitty fucking minimum wage job where you have to work six of them to pay the rent, you can still drive home, get a cold boy, or get a tall boy,
and
get a fucking burger, and fucking watch Netflix all night and go to bed somewhat content and wake up and do the same
shit. I don't have to go fucking snipe people right now.
Exactly. What's a cold boy, though? What's your Freudian slip?
Then said tall boy.
Yeah. I know you said it, but it's a Freudian slip.
I don't know.
It was like your handsome guys the other day.
Yeah.
And a cold boy. I think that's some kind of weird.
And too, like, I think the internet has made it rough because people have access to information. You know what I mean? And you have people who have the same, like me and you could like the same thing.
Oh, yes.
But maybe that's it in that sense. You know what I mean? Like we could like the same, like all of us like the same thing on some level. Like we might like one thing the same, but then everything else is completely different. You know what I mean? So like to get us to sit here and be like, yeah, we agree on these specific things. We would all have a problem with something
For sure.
From something else, know? So it's really, 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 really rough.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. So this
really loud,
but it's
very crunchy.
Yeah,
what?
Very the like days the days of rage.
Snaps. Ooh, snaps?
Yeah, like little gingerbread ones. I don't
the
know.
Days of Rage is kind of a flop.
Nicole.
And the SDS, which is still somewhat in league with them, and the Black Panthers, which are somewhat in league with them, kind of start to separate themselves because they're thinking this is bullshit. These guys can't get their shit together.
Right.
They were gonna destroy Chicago and all they did was get arrested.
Yeah, they broke windows.
Cripple a guy.
Come on.
So they end up having a meeting in Flint, Michigan, and that they call the War Council, where 300 people attend that are each supposed to go out and then recruit a bunch and you know build up more. And this is where they really get into the idea of the armed struggle even more. Not just rioting, but we need to fucking arm ourselves. We need to fucking hurt people. We need to do all this stuff. In the evening, they meet up to practice karate and get exercise and listen to speeches. And it's what the group calls the wargasm.
No, that's my band.
Stop.
So they have their wargasm.
Let's start a band. If we do, it's wargasm for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. We've had Wargasm. I don't know. We've had better names.
The Wargasm? What was our better name? Napoleon? You're sitting Napoleon Dynamite over there.
No.
Oh, God.
Hunting Wolverines.
I don't know. I think.
What do you think?
I think we've had better band names.
Yeah, I'm sure we have. So, but if we were like a hair band, doesn't get better than Wargasm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. War Gore.
Yeah.
Gorgasm.
Gorgasm. So, oh, Gorgasm.
Glad likes that.
At this point, yeah. They start to recruit hardcore. And I was starting to like, the whole time I was like, well, how do you recruit anybody? Who gives a shit? Who's going to join this group? But then when I started to read the statistics, this is when the baby boomers were young. So at the time, 1/3 of the U.S. population was under the age of 18. And that's who they were recruiting, right? Which this is an impressionable group of people. This is
fucking idiots.
Yeah, fucking idiots. So they start to target
a third of the country was under 18.
They start to target high schools and college students because they think that they're going to be willing to rebel against authority because that's what
they're
high schoolers
do. They're not even developed.
Right?
They're kids.
Yeah,
fuck they
yeah,
can't they think for themselves yet.
They don't. Yeah, they don't 18, even know.
Young, dumb, and full of cum. They're doing stupid shit.
Did you see the thing about jailbreaks?
No.
So they start, part of the recruitment tool is jailbreak. So these 300 people that went to the Wargasm start to go around the country and they start to basically like charge into high schools during the day.
Oh, I did see this.
And do all this shit to get people to leave school and follow them.
Topless chicks running into classrooms. Dude, so they're like, I'm out.
The two most
fuck history. I'm going with titties.
The two most famous ones were Pittsburgh, where they stormed a school and they had a Viet Cong flag and they get into the hallway in between classes and they start passing out flyers for the Weather Underground. Women are running around the school topless. They barge into classes that are currently in session and they start talking shit about history and the curriculum and the Imperial War machine and doing all this stuff.
God, can you imagine being the history teacher getting shut down by someone that knows the real history?
Yeah, yeah. So a bunch of students leave with them. Maybe. I mean, well, apparently that was the case. Oh. Like
that is the case. School's a lie.
So they end up following a lot of people leave and follow the jailbreak because they're broken out of jail.
Like, viva the titties.
And they run into a bunch of construction workers in Pittsburgh who start to do catcalls and like hoot and howl at the women, maybe because they were topless still.
Yeah,
that part I don't know.
No, for
but
sure.
The weather women know karate, so they start to whoop construction worker asses.
What in the fuck? This is village people video.
Yeah, and the cops show up and arrest them, but no one's charged for anything. They do the same thing in Detroit.
Is this a movie?
They storm.
I feel like those construction workers are like, no, stop.
Yeah.
Don't whip my ass. Yeah. Like, titties in the face.
Women.
Slap with nipples.
Nine women storm a classroom in Detroit during a final exam, and they block the door and start lecturing the class on imperialism and racism, and they don't let the students leave, and the teacher leaves and calls the cops, and the cops show up. There's a fight. The cops get their asses whooped. They have to call more cops, and they get arrested, and they become known as the Detroit Nine.
Wow.
So, but the other thing is, at this point also,
who the fuck shows up? Fucking Andy and fucking, you know what I mean?
Like, in Detroit, no less. Yeah.
Yeah.
So part of the, another article that I read on a website called timeline.com that has, I'll post the links to all the sources, but they have the Weather Underground, like, was a hair away from becoming a cult. Like at this moment in time, right around the days of Rage. So the Weather Underground commanded every member of the Weather Underground to break up with their romantic partners. And they had to do what they called smash monogamy, where they scheduled mass orgies so that they would end up only caring about other people in the underground.
Dude, it was in the documentary. They show some shit. I was like, God damn, this show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were just rolling around just piles
lots
of fucking
60s bush.
Yeah, it was just knees and butts and tits and everything.
That
man.
Was a real orgy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see, like, that's where, like, they're wanting to be free and do all this stuff, and then all of a sudden they're getting ordered to fucking do some shit that they might not want to do. Like, that's where things go bad.
Right.
As soon as sex comes in, it's always fucking weird.
Yeah.
That's when shit gets weird.
Well, yeah, because
as soon as everybody wants to fuck everybody.
Yeah, Humberto's fucking your wife, you know, like, or lover, you know. Like,
Humberto?
Well, they had the Mexicans come in, you know.
So after a couple of months, the orgies are stopped because they say that they're complicating the group's missions with jealous distractions, because now everybody's fucking everybody and everybody's jealous of everybody else. So they're like, okay, no more orgies, party's over. But again, it's the 60s. I'm sure they were all high as fuck on LSD
with
having
STDs.
Orgies. With, that was the other thing that stopped, was the STDs. They started to get gonorrhea, pelvic inflammatory disease, and crabs, and they called it the weather crud because everybody was spreading around the same STDs as each other, and they realized
in one fucking night. Because traditionally you'd be like, oh, you had sex with that chick, now you got it. You would have to wait till next weekend to hook up with some chick, maybe if you got lucky, and then she
Well, but it still lasted for a while.
I'm just saying, everybody fucked everybody that night
several times.
Yeah,
so it still had time to the crabs got time to adjust.
You got shit in your ass, your fucking dickhead. Like, who knows who's fucking what?
You got shit in your ass and your dickhead. What the fuck happened? Your dickhead Humberto came in. They're bringing in the Mexicans. Shit in your ass and your dickhead.
You've never been to one of my orgies, eh?
Apparently not. It's like a burrito of STDs over there.
Fucking rice everywhere.
Nachos. It's nacho normal orgy.
That's nacho woman, eh?
So in February of 1970, they do an arson attack. They start to ramp shit up and shit gets crazy. Like, up until now, it's like, let's fuck each other. We blow up a statue.
Break some windows.
We had a bad job destroying Chicago, but shit gets real here real quick. Right. So, about 4:30 in the morning, they start throwing Molotov cocktails at a Supreme Court justice's house.
Those are so scary. I don't want any part of that. It could blow up in your fucking hand. Like, it's a bottle of gasoline on fire though.
So
you ever try to throw a milkshake at someone? That shit's getting on you, bro.
It is.
That's what I'm saying. So Molotov cocktail.
You don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Did you see that footage of the fucking guy in Hong Kong fucking putting the shit hammer on the tear gas?
No, he threw it back or what?
No, it's crazy. He's got like this metal, like we have like a metal thermos that's like the right size, and he's got like a respirator on, and you see the cops like fire or throw tear gas. The tear gas lands. He runs up. Everybody's running away. He picks it up, drops it in, seals it, shakes the shit out of it for like 15 seconds, opens it up, and just sludge pours out and no more gas.
Fucking science, bitch. Yeah. That's awesome.
It was fucking crazy.
That's cool.
Yeah. But so they do these arson attacks on a fucking Supreme Court justice's house. Like, that's no joke, right?
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court justice is one of the members sitting on a trial for the Panther 21, which is a Black Panther Party to do a bomb in New York.
There's their numbers on the end of everything.
Yeah, 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 exactly. That was, there was the Detroit 9, the Chicago 7, the Panther 21. Yeah.
Tennessee 3.
We need the SK 3.
Yeah, the West Memphis 3.
That's right. I guess we'd have to be a town, though, maybe. Or maybe not the Panther 21.
Panther? SK3.
Yeah, we could be SK3.
Yeah.
Right, we have to be up to something, though. We have to get arrested, though, so I don't want to be
there's like
the
six of us.
We're underground.
Though.
You don't know yet.
That's true. That's true. We are.
Well, once we do something and how many people follow us to do it, then we'll have the number.
There's thousands.
It could be 12.
Us.
Could be,
But see, there'd be like thousands of us converging, but then like the key members would be the ones that got arrested, and then they would become the... The Denver nine or however.
Because it won't be us.
Right.
Who gets arrested first?
Right.
Not us.
And by the way, that riot will be brought to you by El Yucateco.
We're all wearing taco shirts.
They meet us there.
And they have a little booth.
They're holding out waters.
They also, on the same night, throw Molotov cocktails at Columbia University's law library. And
because fuck the law, man.
The Charles Police Station, the Charles Street Police Station in Manhattan. So the same night, you know, I mean, again, Columbia University, Supreme Court Justice, and New York.
Four people
Molotov
went here,
cocktails
four people
are
went there.
Out.
Four people went there.
On March 6th of 1970, They were planning to bomb a non-commissioned officer's dance at Fort Dix in the United States.
Fort Dix.
Fort Dix.
Yeah. Yeah. At Fort
All
Dix.
All the numbers. Here
Dix
we go.
Four.
Exactly. But somehow while they were making the bomb, shit goes south. It blows up in the Weather Underground house.
Oh, no.
And it kills three Weather Underground members from the explosion. And the FBI report that investigates that explosion says that there were enough explosives there that didn't detonate, thankfully, to level both sides of the street.
Wow.
So they had a
That's what's
good
crazy about some explosives.
Bombs.
Like that it takes an explosive to set that shit off. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just like light a fuse. You need like a blasting cap to blow that shit up.
Right.
And a bomb going off didn't blow up the rest of the explosives.
You're right.
Hmm. Yeah. Yet those accidentally blew up somehow.
Yeah.
And a bomb wouldn't set the rest of them off.
Yeah, but just because the bomb blew up doesn't mean there was a spark or flame at that point.
I mean, if there was a pipe bomb on this desk that the three of us were working on and our explosions were on the other side of the basement,
ridiculous.
Then the pipe bomb would easily kill the three of us, making us the Bakersfield Three.
Why would you even say that?
The rest of our explosions would be safe.
God.
That's our alibi.
The rest of our explosions.
Would we say that if we were doing it?
Exactly.
Yeah, no. We wouldn't really do that. Plus,
there's cameras all over. It's not like just below the cameras or stuff like that.
No. So, but this explosion, they end up having to call another war council in California, I think. All the leaders from the different cells meet up because they've gone underground at this point. They're no longer part of student group. They're underground cells acting like a terror organization. And since these three people that died were like top people and everybody knew them, they're tripping and they're like, okay, maybe we shouldn't be going for assassination and murder, but we should. So how do we do a violent revolution without the violence? Becomes the question, and that's when they start to do their bombings.
Because up until then, none of them had died, right?
None of them had died, right. And they haven't killed anybody either, but that dance, they were going to blow up a dance full of soldiers, right? So at this point, they declare the war on America, but they start to... which one of the articles that I read even said that they thought this was one of the reasons they were still able to keep recruiting because they started doing arson and doing lots of explosions, but none of them killed anyone.
Right.
So it still seemed cool. Like you didn't murder 12 people. You just blew up a place.
The level of difficulty for doing these bombs and continuing activity without killing people was even more complex.
Right.
Because they had to make sure that they give you 6 minutes to evacuate the building. Yeah. Is that going to work? Is everybody getting out? Are we going to accidentally kill someone?
Right.
It's much more difficult to not kill people and still do that.
Yeah. So they end up sending out a promise to attack the symbol or institution of American injustice within 2 weeks, which again is just straight terrorist playbook. Like they're a terrorist organization. They're trying to change the political scope of the land through violence and threats of violence. Like that's the definition of terrorism, you know? But they end up, at this point, the FBI puts several members on the top 10 most wanted list, brands the Weather Underground as a terrorist organization. But 1970 is a big year. So they end up...
I miss America's Most Wanted. That was a good show.
That was a good show.
Yeah. How'd they keep doing that? Like that top 10 changed that often?
Yeah, they got some.
They're able to
keep catching them.
Oh, true. Move up the list.
Yeah, keep catching them.
So on D-Day plus 3, 1970, a bomb made out of 10 sticks of dynamite... blows up the headquarters of the New York City Police Department. Think you would have heard about that in history class? Like, nope. So they fucking blow up the headquarters of the U.S. Of the New York Police Department. But they give a 6 minute warning and it's at night and they let everyone know, like, get out of the building. We're going to blow it up. And everybody flees from the building. 6 minutes
is not that long though.
6 minutes isn't that long.
Yeah. Shit could go wrong.
Yep. Shit could go wrong.
But back then it wasn't probably remote. They really had a timer and they're like, it's probably 6 minutes. Yeah, give or take 30 seconds.
Egg timer. Yeah. So July 23rd, 1970, a bunch of the weathermen get arrested for some of these crimes. The Capitol bombing, March 1st, 1971, they set up a bomb at the Senate, at the United States Capitol.
Yeah.
Never heard of this. Like, they fucking blew up the Senate. They didn't blow up the Senate building, but they set an explosive off.
That's some V for Vendetta shit.
Fuck yeah, it is. Destroys windows, causes hundreds of thousands of dollars of damage. There's no casualties because they always do it when either nobody, because it's symbolic. If we blow up the building in the middle of the night with a warning, nobody's there.
Right.
The janitors leave and everything's cool. Or we stake it out and when the janitor's coming in, you're like, hey, don't go to work today, bro. We're blowing the building up.
This didn't happen. I guess there's no security. Like they get into the Pentagon. Like,
yeah.
How the fuck is the security let them get in there with whatever the fuck they took in there?
May 19th, 1972, Ho Chi Minh's birthday. They place a bomb.
I love his trail.
In the Air Force.
Ho Chi Minh trail mix.
Yeah. We should make that. The Air Force portion of the Pentagon, they place a bomb in a bathroom, and it blows up and it causes, which I don't think was their goal, but it explodes a bunch of pipes, which causes flooding that destroys a bunch of top secret classified tapes.
Right.
Like magnetic tapes get destroyed from the flooding. So they end up doing more damage than they probably ever thought they were going to do.
How close is that to the Pentagon? Bathroom? You think you'd have shit? I don't know. You wouldn't think it was going to
depends on what the flood does. Like if the pipes explode and it, I mean, mean, it could go, you know.
Shouldn't left those super tapes on the floor.
Well, it's also going to, the flood's going to go down.
Oh, true. If it's multiple stories or something. So if it's like a couple of levels
down, then the flood's going to get down there. Yeah. So in the course of their time, they do 25 such bombings over the course of 7 years. And we've never heard of them.
Right.
Like a terrorist organization. I mean, we hear of the Oklahoma City bombing. We hear of these single bombings. These motherfuckers did 25 bombings. Nobody died. So, well,
you don't want to make them martyrs or heroes or even vilify them because you might get some notoriety out of it. And yeah, they don't want to promote people doing things like that. Yeah. It's also saving face. Like, it's embarrassing. Like, oh, these motherfuckers snuck in the bathroom and bombed us.
Right.
So I guess you don't talk about it.
Yeah. So
definitely don't put it in a history book.
At about this same time, COINTELPRO starts to illegally investigate members of them. They start to raid family members' houses, trying
black
to find
bag,
evidence.
Like fucking taking people out at night.
Yeah, they fucking just go FBI crazy. And this is the reason that we have a community college professor who was a member of the underground, because this FBI shit got him off scot-free at the end of the day. So most of the leadership of the Weather Underground gets away.
There's still a guy
in prison. The CIA and the FBI both illegally gathered information on them. So they end up walking. And there's a couple other things. In 1974, the group is much smaller and they release a book called Prairie Fire, which talks about their theories and their philosophies.
That was about STDs for sure.
Redheaded STDs. Yeah. But even the FBI even says in their reports, like, we were just finding copies of Prairie Fire at independent bookstores all over the nation. We have no idea who printed them. We have no idea how they got there. Like, they were watching for their propaganda spread and they were trying to see where it came from. They had people on the inside. They had underground members of the Weather in the Weather Underground. So there were FBI agents in there.
Like 6 years they had dudes in there.
Yeah. And they still had no idea who printed this book, how it got spread all around the nation, because its spread was like considered a great success.
Yeah.
At the time, but it didn't really matter because apparently there was a guy named Clayton von Leidegraff who became the voice of the Weather Underground, and apparently he was a total fucking tool and didn't know what he was doing. Nobody trusted him, and almost everybody was either arrested or left under this guy's command because he didn't know what he was doing.
I wouldn't have trusted his name.
No. Yeah. So when they finally needed a Tyler Durden, they got a fucking
Clayton.
They got a Tyler Turden.
Yeah, exactly. And he fucked everything up. And then for the most part, I mean, it was still active until as late as 1981. Like they were still doing shit. I think in 81, in 81, they joined the Black Liberation Army and they robbed a Brinks armored truck of $1.6 million. The people in the Brinks car were killed. A cop was killed. Ironically, the first black police officer on that particular force was killed. And they thought like that they were gathering the money to do more, like to fund future shit. Yeah. But nothing else happened after that the Weather Underground had anything to do with.
Yeah, because they're probably like, fuck, we're fucked.
Yeah, exactly. Or they showed up, you know, and the fucking Black Liberation Army was just shooting fools and they were like, oh, damn, you keep the money, we're out.
Yeah.
Like, that is not what we signed up for. We're not here to murder people.
We're here. We broke windows, man. Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, they still did crazy shit. Bomb at the Pentagon, bomb at the, you know, police stations, boop that statue 4 times. Like,
just hated that statue.
They sure did. They had some good ideas. They had like incentive, but they just couldn't get the recruitment. They couldn't get a leader. And I think at the end of the day, like Brad said, their message was too muddy. Like, it was too muddy. Like, and I mean, once you throw the LSD, and we didn't talk about Timothy Leary. So the other, which I think is worth talking about, the other, thing that happened was, I'm trying to find where it went. They
broke Timothy Leary out of fucking prison for 30 grand somehow. But I was like, how? With what? Did they drive trucks up there? They snuck him out in the laundry basket? Like, did they pay off guards? Like, I want to see that as a whole story. Yeah. Like, you know, just the prison
break
of him.
Timothy Leary.
And they got him out of the country and shit.
Yeah, they got him out of the country to like and then black have activists, to do with like, because I always wondered why Timothy Leary got broken out, because we talked about it. Timothy Leary like gets John broken out of jail and he goes to like something? Black guerrilla activists like out of the country.
Yeah.
And I was always wondering how's that connection, but the Weather Underground was in cahoots with all these people. But yeah, and part of it, one of the theories is that John Lennon's backup group paid for
elephant,
this to happen.
Elephant Memory.
Elephant Memory. Yeah. So they're not sure who paid for Timothy Leary. They know that they were paid $20,000 to break him out, but no one knows who paid the money.
But apparently John Lennon had been in trouble before for like bailing out radical like, activists.
So they think it might have been, they think John Lennon might have been the ones responsible for the Weather Underground breaking Timothy Leary out of
jail. Well, he needed more LSD.
Yeah.
Exactly. He needed that good stuff.
And we covered Timothy Leary, so you can backtrack and get that episode.
I'd have to. I don't remember.
Yeah.
All right. So I had a I had another social media winner, but I don't know what the fuck. I didn't put it on here, apparently. I do need to announce we're going to have some new merch. So it's coming, I promise. I keep saying that about stuff, but the posters finally came. People did get those. But good. We're going to need some new shirts, probably hoodies, maybe some sweatshirts. Women's and men's style stuff that's coming soon, so keep your eye out for it. I'll put out a post and it'll be available in our store at sofakingpodcast.com/shop. Also thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce, that's our primary sponsor. If you haven't had it, go get it. Brad's eyebrows are driving me crazy over there. I can't take it. They're all over the place. Roller coaster of brows. It's like two caterpillars wrestling. Look at it. It's beautiful. Anyways, go check out El Yucateco Hot Sauce. They have 7 different flavors. If you think you don't like hot sauce, you haven't tried all those, so fucking go do it. Because
you don't have any.
I bet
eyebrows.
You like one.
That's weird.
I do. There's blonde, bro. Ooh, wow. I got powder brows.
Wow.
Yeah. There's not much there.
Yeah.
I was gonna pencil them in just for this show. You have, that's what I was saying. You got furry caterpillars over there. I'm jealous. That's why I was looking at
eyebrows.
It was a look of lust and envy.
Yeah.
Also, thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. Go to printdirtcheap.com and you can order printed goods, stickers, and whatnot. If you have a business or a podcast or a band or any reason that you need to order printed goods, you can save some money by using code SOFAKINGPODCAST. Also, thank you to Jimmy D's Tees. He makes the t-shirts that are on our website. You go to Jimmy D's Tees and buy t-shirts that he makes. So if you want something he's already got, you need something made, he can help you out and you can save some money using code SOFAKING with him as well. He does great work, really good stuff. The quality is top notch and he's really good at making love. And he used to like Vinnie Cox, but he doesn't anymore because fucking Baradol does that now. I can't think of his name now.
Spencer
Baradol.
Yeah, he's forgettable.
Yeah, he's forgettable. He's a forgettable.
He really is.
It's tough. It's, you know,
I forgot who we forgot.
I rumspelled at him. I don't even know who I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, thank you to Digital Creations, and go to podbelly.com to check out other podcasts. If you want to learn how to podcast, check it out. Go follow them on Instagram at podbelly. And maybe leave a comment and say Sofa King sent you there, and maybe we'll get them to pick out a prize or something. No. So go check them out. Mm.
You really do have invisible eyebrows.
That does. That motherfucker looks like powder.
There's not much there.
It's not.
You gotta hear my cookie?
I'm not a very hairy man, but if I didn't like seriously like whack down my eyebrows, I'd have like
quack.
I'd have Mentat eyebrows.
Oh, I get those crazy ones.
Whacking in the tool shed.
In here, it's hard to see in this light, but I do have the crazy old man ones where I gotta fucking get a hold of it, you know?
It's up high.
Pull that shit out, yeah. Get one long one that you're like, how the fuck? Has that thing been growing for weeks?
You got some Teen Wolf crazy.
Brows. I get Dune Mentat eyebrows if I don't knock them down.
I'm not a fan of hair.
Your fucking eyebrows high five.
Uh-huh.
Fuck.
I'm kind of okay with it.
They don't connect. I don't have the uni. I just get the...
Yeah.
I got nothing but
beard. You have a double set of eyelashes.
Yeah.
It's multiple sets.
Yeah, right? God did this. I shaved the rest.
So our skull member of the month, we mentioned him. I almost forgot already. Spencer Barrett. So Spencer Barrett shared a story with us that one time.
At band camp.
Actually, it wasn't band camp, but it was choir camp.
Oh, you fucker.
And... One time at choir camp.
You gotta stop eating cookies in the mic.
It's bothering.
That's bothering thousands of people.
I didn't even hear it. I was just going along with it.
You know what's bothering me? Because I'm fucking starving. I don't know why I'm so hungry. I'm dying.
Those are pretty good little ginger snaps there.
There's
one left. I had a few. So Spencer Barrett was at choir camp when he was 16.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he did choir all the way through seventh grade, you know, through
right.
his sixth semester in college. Yeah, he did. He did a quite a stint at the community college. In
it happens.
Yeah. So he basically what happened was he had his first sexual experience at choir camp.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of how it all goes. You know, you think you're in love. And you think, you sure. know, you really, you know, you want to give your virginity away to, you know, the person that you love at this right. time, you know, but he's young. I mentioned it was an all boys choir camp, correct?
No, you didn't.
Yes, it's all boys.
How choir Brad and camp. I met. It's our yeah. origin story.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Before the podcast, so, there was choir camp.
Yeah. Choir camp. Yeah. So he finds his, you know, the Matt, the love of his life that he mm-hmm. thinks at this time. And Matt is a.
That's how they broke up. He walked all over him.
Yeah, I mean, Matt was Matt.
Like a dick.
So, yeah, no, Matt was well endowed.
Dave.
Matt was well endowed, and as soon as Spencer got home, I mean, his parents immediately knew he had stretch marks on his cheeks.
Right.
He had anal seepage. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of bad things happening. They had to take him to the doctor. He had three surgeries.
Stretch marks on the cheeks.
Three.
Will never not be the best thing ever.
Three facial reconstructive surgeries Damn. To take out those stretch marks so that he didn't shame his family anymore. Because, I mean, that's a horrible thing to have.
You can't yeah. go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
People know.
Yeah.
You're over there
it's,
trying to get some produce. I mean, they're making
at first,
cucumber
it looks
jokes.
Like cat whiskers, you mm-hmm. know, but yeah. then they get closer and it just.
And
know.
It was the end of his choral career because apparently the ramming dislodged his vocal
yeah.
cords.
No yeah. more choir. Yeah. yeah. He turned into he sounded like a smoker. You know what I mean? Like somebody that talks to the whole.
Like an
neck.
Australian.
Yeah.
yeah.
A dirty scoundrel like that.
That's
like
I don't that. Think that they sound yeah. like that. Yeah. I don't,
exactly what yeah. they
no,
that's
is.
Great, yeah. That's a great impression.
A lot of people think that I can't yeah. do a good impression, but they just don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah. You smelly yeah. wallaby.
They don't know the caliber yeah. of impression.
Right.
They don't know the scale.
Good day, hey, Governor. Pip, yeah, pip, cheerio.
Hey, just Pokey. Like mm-hmm. Come over here and get in my trolley.
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah.
Pokey.
Australia. Yeah.
Perfect. I'll headbutt your balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't.
Yeah, they call everybody Pokey. That's an Australian
yeah, Pokey,
thing.
Yeah. Come here, Pokey.
Oi, mm-hmm. Pokey.
Oi. Yeah, oi. So anyway, so that was Spencer Barrett's first time. He was hesitant to write us about it, but he, you know, put it out there. And I appreciate that. You know, you really have to.
Yeah. Well, this is a safe space.
Really have to appreciate and thank somebody who.
We
really
bring back Nest.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Nest. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is, you know.
Sort of.
Yeah. So anyway.
We just forgot Spencer. To tell everyone to turn it off. That was the problem.
True.
Normally yeah. we tell everyone to turn it off.
Yeah.
True. So they don't.
But this is for
Nest.
Him though. This isn't for us.
He yeah, yeah, yeah. He wanted
was,
the story
this was
told.
A story for everybody.
He wanted his story yeah. told.
I was going to give another podcast a shout out. Go over and check out Kim and Ket Stay Alive Maybe. Probably a bunch of our fans are going to love
long
this show.
Name.
It is a lot. Kim and Ket Stay Alive Maybe. They're on podbelly.com.
I think it should
they're
be
also
longer.
On Google Play.
I think if
iTunes.
You do a long name, it mm-hmm. should be really long intentionally.
Once upon a time, Kit and Ket Stay Alive Maybe. Sometimes if they did.
Yeah, sometimes probably time. Because.
right.
Right.
And it has to be, yeah, it can't be proper. Yeah, so if you're on Reddit, go to r/SofaKingPodcast. Joining the conversation there. Actually, this week's Hot Sack winner was from there
yep.
because they're just doing it better than you guys on Facebook. You really old
are.
Fucks.
They're from Australia.
Old fucks.
And there's no prompt. They're not being asked.
I was going
to
buy us new microphone
something.
Stands, but you guys picked a fucking Hot Sack from Australia. Now we can't afford the microphone stands.
There's just like
fuck.
$300.
That was Dave. Fuck
there's
you, Dave.
Dope El Yucateco pictures unsolicited all the time on
yeah,
Reddit.
There is, really is.
It's really cool.
Got people in Canada asking me if I can mail them hot sauce because it's really expensive to get in Canada. I was like, that's because it's really expensive to get in Canada. Like, right. What do I have? A magic? Like, shipping's
going to
be
more
shipping.
Expensive for us.
I'll see.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm gonna weigh out some bottles and we'll just see. Because apparently it's like $20 a bottle to get
ooh,
it to Canada.
God damn.
But I was like, I don't know. I mailed a 4-ounce poster to Canada and it costs like fucking $12.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it weighed 4 ounces. So
yeah,
a
know.
Couple bottles of hot sauce is going to be pretty fucking expensive, I
yeah.
bet.
Yeah. Probably.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We are at Sof King Podcast. Personal Instagrams. I am at Raised with Wolves. I have Sof King Brent and Sof King Dave. Check out Elgateco_hot sauce. Check out Jimmy D's Tees. Check out Sof King Podcast Art Unofficial. That's what I forgot last time. And
some funny stuff. I got Logan stabbed Feld, by a stingray. You stabbed me with a stingray in those last art.
Was it? Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't see that one.
It's mm-hmm. good.
Yeah. go there for some quirky art from a fellow SK member. And go to SofKingPodcast.com. Check out the website. Go to Patreon.com/SofKingPodcast to support the show. And last but not least, the Spotify playlist. Search SofKing Podcast. 2019 is the newest playlist from this year. You can get the end songs on there and all the artist information.
Yep.
With that being said, don't be a retard.
I'm self-made, I was grinding on my own. From the pad to the phone, I was writing in my zone. I'm trying to make a home on this throne. I was repping when they left me on my own, saying come with me, but they ain't wanna hear it. Now it's run quick, see, it's funny how they put me to the side. Now they wanna ride with me, nah homie, nah 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 nah.
Niggas was coming up, I was just hungry watching them. Started from the bottom, couldn't breathe, barely had no oxygen, walked in the death row. Suge gave me them dollars and I started rocking in the same studio booth Pac was in. Go ahead, pop your collar, then niggas pulling in collars in. Bloods and Crips in the parking lot, looking at the Benz I was in. Jigga told me to never look back, nigga, I gotta win. Bring a couple of commas in, give some dollars to mama them. But Suge was blackballed, they ain't wanna see him rise. So I left death row with my life and a couple DUIs. Couple gun charges, I beat him, I'ma be alright. Mind your business or get your ass capped if you be in mind. That publisher talk, come fuck with a boss. Then I moved to Shady, going Maney, tough with the bars. That's when M and Nickel went triple, just fucking with Mars. Hold your lighters up, me and Paul puffing cigars. East side is up, me and my city coming for ours. Still live as fuck in the Benzie, bumping some knives. Rolling windows down, general status, I'm independent now. Real niggas went out of style, but yo, we winning now.
I'm self-made, I was grinding on my own. From the pad to the phone, I was writing in my zone. I'm trying to make a home on this throne. I was repping when they left me on my own, saying come with me, but they ain't wanna hear it. Now it's run quick, see, it's funny how they put me to the side. Now they wanna ride with me, nah homie, nah 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 nah.
Set aside the pain, niggas never knew the game. Thoughts of these cancerous niggas got me a swollen brain. Came from the mud of this shit, left in the dirt and rain. Had to go against all lies, niggas, so fuck the grain. We was in the trenches before the flags, my niggas bang. Most of them picked up the flags, I remain the same. Colors start to show when Al got shot, this shit is shame. That ain't even half of the grimy shit had me going silly. Smartened up, niggas got shady with those on getting paid off top. I had to split from the roots, thinking fresh of braids and diapers. Blocks getting swept like they sent the maze. Had to find a way, put the pen up instead of blue grenades. Gotta get it, winning is something that they don't wanna see. The flow been crazy, pen is like Draco High for PCP at 23. Legally, recently, niggas ain't seeing me. I'm here to shock the world with more attention than Collins. Knee ain't new to this. Hooked up with Twan, made some crazy hits. Atlanta, then we flew up to Texas, handled some business shit. John plugged a nigga with Crook, and we drop with the shit. They pack shows, crowd touch more walls than a crucifix.
I'm self-made, I was grinding on my own. From the pad to the phone, I was writing in my zone. I'm trying to make a home on this throne. I was repping when they left me on my own, saying come with me, but they ain't wanna hear it. Now it's run quick, see, it's funny how they put me to the side. Now they wanna ride with me, nah homie, nah 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 nah. I'd rather die than tell a lie about this life of mine, cause my life and times consisted of a life of crime. By design, we all born to die, some of us rush it, don't see potential in ourselves, so we living like fuck it. Hate to say it, but I'm a prime example of it. Pops bounced when I was 3, mama started getting high and did it right in front of me. It's no wonder why I act out. What you know about watching your uncle strapped up, snatching your mama out of crack house, going to school the next day, people laughing and joking. The nigga thought it was funny till his jaw ended up broken, then going home tripping. Not only did mama dip out again, but my TV and my Nintendo is missing. Anger kicking in, I'm developing a temper now. Granny worried about me, hoping and praying I simmer down. Teacher saying I'ma end up in prison or dead. Preacher wanna anoint me with the oil on my head. Against all odds, I thank God for my children. Thank God that I'm living, amen. God willing, this talent and this gift to do music that's God-given will put me in position to chill and count millions.
I'm self-made, I was grinding on my own. From the pad to the phone, I was writing in my zone. Make a home on this throne. I was repping when they left me on my own, saying come with me, but they ain't wanna hear it. Now it's run quick, see, it's funny how they put me to the side. Now they wanna ride with me, nah homie, nah 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 nah.